Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
I listened to a DIY Money that you led. Well, you need a new intro. You need
your
own intro. You try to do my intro. No.
What should be my intro?
You got to figure it out. You're gone this weekend.
This is
you're
DIY with the, Money.
No, you need your own. You need a Logan intro.
Okay. All right.
I heard it
I
and I was like,
a Logan intro.
I was like, that's not you.
Fair.
I mean, it's good. Don't get
fair,
me wrong.
But
you
it's
do
the
it,
intro.
But it's yeah, and it's that's not it. That's not
fair.
It. Now our tagline has to be our tagline. Like the tagline has to say the tagline.
So I can't just make up a different show.
No, you can't make up a different tagline. Yeah. I mean that forever credited to JP, my boy. He gave me that tagline. I was like, I'm using that. Now it's our tagline. So that's a DIY Money tagline. But yeah, you need your own. And do same thing with you, A. Howard. You need your own too.
Fair
enough. Got to individualize it a little bit.
Fair enough.
How's life treating you?
Life is treating me pretty good. Weather's getting better. I'm on the track now. This weekend will start my 3-month journey in order to be ready to go for your 4th of July party where cornhole and can jam will be.
Okay,
starting,
so you're training.
Oh, like, I'm training. I'm getting
you know what I just
it.
Had a glimpse of? Have you yet? Oh, yeah, because you and I watched it together, Dumb Money.
Yeah,
do you remember when Roaring Kitty like goes out to the track? I just think it's hysterical. He puts the headband. Oh, he puts the headband on constantly.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't. Did you catch that he looked at his watch and he was trying to break a four-minute mile?
Yeah.
Is that
4-minute mile?
Did you see that guy?
Yeah, I mean,
a 4-minute mile.
But I think he was a little bit more trimmed up in real life. And I think that's
is that
true.
Legit?
I think he was like a runner.
Like
he was like a runner in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It had to be somewhat.
Yeah,
but
I think he was like a
track star. But I didn't see it.
Star.
I watched it twice. I was watching it the second time. And I didn't catch it the first time that he was upset that he didn't break 4. And I'm like, seriously?
4-minute mile?
Yeah, that was
crazy.
Great.
Absolutely.
Roaring Kitty, I love you!
Great movie, by the way. Do not watch it around kids. Earmuff that. Yeah. Wow.
But a good showing of like stock market and how crazy it was.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was absolutely an amazing, true. I'll never forget that time period.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing at that time period during COVID?
I was here.
You were here.
Mm-hmm.
Home. You were home with us. Home. I mean, here, but home. Working from home.
No, I mean
we were coming in.
The GameStop and stuff was late 2020.
Yeah.
So
when did
in
you exactly start with
November
us?
2020.
It'll all be a blur for me.
Yeah.
You need to understand.
But, yeah, so early on, you guys were doing work from home, but we were
November
all in the office
2020.
When I was there.
Yeah.
We were
oh,
all
yeah.
In the office when
okay.
We got back.
Yeah, that was a wild time. It was a blur. It's all a blur.
Very interesting.
My son said something the other day. He was like, whatever happened that he was trying to go to Europe with his class, and so mm-hmm. we had to, like, he raised some money, and he was like, whatever happened to that money? Like, and I was like, you never went. It was gone. He's like, dude, did you get that back? I was like, no. Like, we lost that money.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, he raised a little bit, which was, if you're listening to the show and you're a family member or whatever, and we appreciate it, don't get me wrong, but I think it was like 70% we paid for outside of that, and it was poof. It was gone.
Yeah, no.
And then it was one of those things like you could really try to, I'm sure, and they were like, oh, you can defer it another time and do, you know, take it. I'm like,
yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, and it's gone. Okay. What else is going on in your world? So, okay, backtrack. So you're on this game.
Well, yeah,
like,
I got to
no,
so
focus
I just,
up the cornhole.
I thought about that because I have bachelor party this weekend, and we will just play cornhole and can jam the whole time.
I haven't played cornhole a long time. I really like
it's
that.
Been, yeah, I love that. Cornhole, and I just have some great buddies from high school, and that's what we do. We just play
are
cornhole,
you running? So. Are you prepping for the 10K?
I am prepping for the 10K. Yeah, I've ran on the weekends. I got to get doing it during the week and running in the morning, but I've been running on the weekends and getting a few miles in and stuff
good.
And getting ready for the 10K.
T, come out. I'm burning. My lungs are burning.
So, you're ready for it. You're going to be ready for it.
What would you recommend? Do you recommend like doing a program or something? Like get ready for a 10K? Or
I mean,
just go
no,
run?
I would do what I, well, I'm quite a bit older than you, so what works for me doesn't necessarily, you probably could do more miles than I would, but ultimately, I would run a couple times during the week, you know, and build up a base, you know, maybe run a 2-miler or a 3-miler, you know, 3-mile, 3-mile, and then run a longer run on the weekends, really
okay.
slow,
okay.
and just keep doing that. and then progressively add more miles to your list. So you might end up running 5 miles on a Tuesday and 5 miles on a Thursday and 7 miles on Saturday or something along those lines.
Okay.
So that's what I would.
I'll be ready.
You will be ready. It's going to be great. Absolutely. All right. Let's jump right into our question because it's a unique one and I love it. And we don't get to talk about this very much. I'm surprised we don't get more questions like this. I'm not asking for questions like this, but if they do come in every once in a while, we'll certainly touch on them. So, Brian, what do you got?
DIY.
Hi, DIY Money Team. It's Brian from Cincinnati with a question for you about NVIDIA earnings. The recent earnings report from NVIDIA was spectacular, to say the least. Part of that release implied that they more than doubled their revenue in the last year. And my question for you is, how did they do that? Did they double production of their products or did they double the price of their products? I've tried to investigate that on my own and I've not been able to answer that question. Hoping you can help me understand how they doubled their earnings. And also, perhaps you can give us some guidance on how you do investment research like this. Where do you go? What resources do you use? And what's your process? Thank you very much.
All right. This is a great question. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think you might be trying to get a little too far into the weeds, Brian. About, I would say, 3 quarters ago now, I think it was probably Q2 or Q3 of 2023, all of a sudden, out of the blue, NVIDIA, which, as you know, semiconductor company known for high processing, typically graphics types chips used in, you know, multimedia gaming.
Yeah,
and they've gone through different iterations. They've been on the forefront of a lot of different things. They were on the forefront of chips that were used to process the crypto movement when the crypto craze was crazy. They've always been on the forefront of their graphics cards and the chips that, you know, power the games. And they've always kind of been on the forefront of this. And about 3 quarters ago or so, they came out with just an unbelievable blockbuster top line revenue or sales number, as well as an earnings per share number. And it just took the street by absolute surprise. The stock ramped considerably.
So for those that are first listening to this, break down the difference in the revenue and the earnings.
So, I mean, think about, well, a company makes money. They sell a product. So sales come in, and that is revenue, top-line revenue. I mean, just literally, if you were to look at a sheet of paper, that's on the top. Then they have all of their expenses. So they pay their employees. They pay for the cost of the goods to be made. They keep the lights on in the warehouse. They, you know, if they have debt, they pay interest expense on the debt. They do all these different things. And then what's left over is profit. So that's what we call bottom line because it literally is at the bottom. So about 3 quarters ago, and this happens, this happens fairly often. You'll have a company that, you know, has a quarter that just boom out of nowhere, and the stock, you know, it's not priced in, and the stock has an unbelievable move and it totally shocks Wall Street or whatever. And a lot of times that's in small and medium type size companies. It's rarely in very large companies, but ultimately they attribute it, you know, they said, look, our the demand what we're seeing for AI and the chips that we make to service AI is something we've never seen before. Now, immediately, the street, and when I say street, I mean analysts and people like myself or investors or commentators.
Like you'd say to somebody, you're going to like this guy. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us.
They applauded it, and certainly the stock rose precipitously, but a lot of people immediately thought, now, wait a second. Yes, we know demand for AI is booming, right? And what do I mean by that? Well, there's a lot of companies. I don't know a single company who is not trying to implement AI in their process.
I got a notification that my water company has an AI tool now.
I was on with an airline the other day, and I'm talking to someone, literally talking to a human being, I thought, that was articulating, talking to me, et cetera. And then finally I realized, because of some of the answers, I was like, this is an AI. This is ridiculous. Every company is trying to implement this, and they are it's an advanced learning machine computer. So it's not like firing up your Windows machine or your Windows on your, or your Mac and just, you know, opening a spreadsheet or something. You can imagine it, the processing speed that it takes to digest a piece of information and then either go out to the web, which is like what ChatGPT does a lot, go out to the web, call the information and bring it back to you in a timely fashion, takes a tremendous amount of processing speed. At this moment in time, NVIDIA is the only game in town.
Yeah.
That's it. And so what we saw was every company trying to get into this business, the first thing they have to do is enhance their hardware. And so they're ordering from the only, it'd be like, you know, it'd be like COVID hits and there's only one store in your town. Well, guess what? They're going to explode with business because everybody's going to go there. That's the only store in town. That's, right, in fact, what happened in COVID, mm-hmm, when only Amazon and Netflix. And I mean, it's exactly what happened, why their sales exploded.
Good to be the king.
But anyways, this happened. Now, immediately people were skeptic. I was certainly skeptic and said, now, wait a second. Okay. Is this like a one-hit wonder, right, thing, like one quarter and it's going to be done? Or more than likely, companies are nervous about supply chain issues and they're ordering more than they really need.
They're front loading it and then it's going to,
exactly,
kind of fall off.
So we were trying to determine the street, everybody's, because not only did NVIDIA talk about their unbelievable quarter that they had had, they projected out
huge numbers,
huge numbers, and a backlog, or like an order book, let's call it, that was massive.
Right.
Okay. So everybody was like, okay, is this real? Are you sure? Yada, yada. Well, guess what? Next quarter, bam, same thing. And every time this has happened, and this has happened three times now, and the highest one was just this recent quarter,
right,
which was a hurdle that they had to surpass, which was just unbelievable. Nobody thought that they were going to surpass this. The stock had already moved to incredible heights, and they did. Now, getting back to your original question, what did they, you literally said that more than double their revenue, did they increase production or increase price? Well, they had to increase production because they had a tremendous amount of sales.
Yeah.
Again, think of, scale this down, forget it, semiconductors, scale this down to burgers. Like if you have a burger shop and they do double the amount of revenue, well, it's because double the amount of people showed up. Now, mind you, I'm sure, and I don't know much about pricing, but I'm sure with that much demand, basic economics, pricing is probably increased as well.
Right.
That's just, I mean, if there's a line around the block for your burger and you're the manager, if you're not increasing prices, you're an idiot.
Right.
It's good to be the king.
Like, so I'm sure there's an element of that. But the reality is they doubled that because of sales, because the amount of people, companies that want that chip. Now, understand the margins, meaning what they're bringing to the bottom line from their top line sales, because they're the only shop in town, their margins are massive. So not only did top line expand considerably, but bottom line expanded tremendously.
Right. And now, I want to mention something too. You didn't necessarily ask this, but when we're thinking about the expectations, so Quint said they had this high hurdle rate. That's the expectations that the market has for a particular stock or for a particular earnings report. What's important to know and why the stock price moves up after news like this is that there was expectations, they exceeded the expectations. So going over and above that bar can move the price. Just because you have a good report or you have good earnings doesn't mean that the price is going to move if it's already expected that it's going to grow. So NVIDIA was probably expected, I'm making up numbers here, but expected that year over year they rose revenues by 90%. But in fact, they came out with that report and they rose them by 120%.
Right.
So that exceeding the expectation is what moves the actual stock price.
Now, here's the challenge. I'll strike in a couple things. So I hear these like diabolically different opinions. Mm. I mean, they couldn't, there's very few people that are in the middle on this. It's like a lot of things in our world. on one hand, people are like, oh, this is absolutely crap. This stock is going to crash. This is like the 90s. Well, here's the deal. I traded in the 90s. This is not like the 90s. Right. Those companies didn't even have revenue. Like,
super
they weren't
small.
They weren't even making money, like, at all. Okay? So on one hand, that's not the case. The other hand, though, is I think it's very, very dangerous to extrapolate out that this growth can continue in this one company. Mm. Why? Imagine having the hottest burger in town and everybody in town wants burgers. You know what's going to open up down the street pretty quickly?
Another burger shop.
Make no mistake, AMD, Micron, every chip company, Intel, they are absolutely 100% trying desperately to get in this game. Now, you might say, well, but their chips aren't as good. Okay, then how do you compete?
Price.
It's basic economics. So the challenge that I see on the other side of the spectrum is people who go, it's a cheap stock. It's cheap. Mm. Look at the forward earnings. Look at what they're projected to make, and it's trading 25 times forward earnings. That's not high. As long as those earnings keep hitting, because the minute other companies have other choices,
right,
those earnings can fall, and all of a sudden that goes from a cheap stock to a very, very expensive stock.
Right.
Now, you asked another question. So, listen, again, don't get too caught up in the forest through the trees, Brian. The reality is their sales doubled because the demand was astronomical.
And then everything comes with it. They're selling more, the production goes up, the price goes up.
Absolutely. So that's number one. Number two is you asked a great question that would, and I'm not bunting on this. I'm going to answer some things, but you asked a question, what's our process for individual equities? And listen, you know, I mean, our majority of our business is passive allocation, index allocation. I congratulate every time a client comes in, I like the tongue in cheek. I go, congratulations on NVIDIA. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you have a 6% position in NVIDIA. And they're like, I do? I'm like, yeah, you own the S&P 500.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6% of the S&P 500. So congratulations. And so, I mean, I'm joking, but in a way, it's one of the reasons why we like index passive investing is you'll always get the good companies.
Right.
I mean, look what happened with the Dow, right? I mean, all of a sudden we get Walgreens that's out, Amazon that's in. I mean, they're constantly reshuffling the indices. But anyways, you asked about our process. I still do like individual companies. We have some models that we run that look at individual stocks, etc. We are more often than not looking for some sort of value. We are not in the growth camp. That's just inherently, that's very difficult. It's very speculative. It's not our bread and butter. It really never has been. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't look for value in a company that maybe the world views as a growth company. And we might just be, again, you know, value investors missed Amazon for 20 years. If you look back into the early days of Amazon and you look at their earnings multiples and their growth rate now, you'd be like, wow, that was an incredible value. In fact, Warren Buffett took what was a traditional growth company in Apple, and he basically flipped the script and said, no, I see value here. And the company went up fourfold since the time Warren Buffett took a 40% position in the stock.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Any stock can have value
in it. Any stock can have value in it. But what we like to do is we like to kind of look intrinsically at the company and see if we are buying a company or buying a stock of a company cheaper than basically what it should be selling for. So if we can look at a company and say, okay, it's trading at 50, and the work that we've done, and I'm just going to leave it there, the work that we've done said, you know, this company really should be trading at 80 or 90 based on what we've done, what the work we've done. And I'm going to give you a resource. Again, I'm not totally bunting. I'm going to give you a resource. But the work we've done, then we buy the stock. We buy the company. But we have to have something that tells us that it's a value opportunity, whether it's a company. I mean, I owned NVIDIA a little bit. I owned it on the original pullback after the second quarter of earnings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like, you know, I got it at 400 or something and I sold it for 600 and I thought I was a genius. And now it's hit 900, right? I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But the other thing I will tell you is a resource. I will share a resource with you. I haven't even gone to you.
It's okay.
You hate me, don't you? No, 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 I don't hate you.
Holy cow.
Keep going.
Mary Buffett wrote a book. She is Warren Buffett's daughter. She wrote a book. I recommend this to my students. It's the way in which we evaluate individual stocks in the class I teach at UK. It is called The Buffett Way. I highly recommend you pick that book up. I highly recommend you read that book. That is how I like to evaluate companies and look for intrinsic value. What say you, Logan?
Yeah, so I just want to tell a story with it. I think you answered it really well. The first company I ever evaluated and really, really dug into and figure out, okay, is this company of value? What is it going to do in the future? What should the stock price be, even though it's at this current stock price? Was in your class, we picked a company called Deckers Outdoor. I've talked about this before, but Deckers Outdoor is the company that makes Uggs. And when we were pitching this, that was what the company was known for. They made Ugg shoes, and that was what they were popular for. The stock was trading at about $160 a share when we were evaluating and looking into this. But what we really liked about the company was this small, unheard of running shoe that they had recently acquired and that they had owned they owned outright now. They had just bought from a foreign buyer, and it was called Hoka One One. So if you've ever heard of Hokas before, they're very, very popular now. But we found this running shoe, and we were interested in it because whenever I called and reached out to a bunch of local and not even local running shoe companies, I said, what's your best shoe? They didn't say Brooks. They didn't say some of these really popular ones. They said Hoka. By far and away, Hokas are the best-selling shoe that we have. Oh, and by the way, not just runners love them, but people that are on their feet all day, doctors, nurses, they love these shoes as well. And we're like, wow, that's really interesting that someone is interested in this shoe, but the analyst, the investors that are looking at this company are not really factoring in any growth. So the revenue that you talked about, they're not factoring in much growth at all or revenue growth in this company. So we then did more research. We looked at things like the debt of the company, who the managers of the company were. So who is the ownership that are running this company? Are they smart people that have been in this business for a very long time? All of those things we kind of evaluated. But our thesis was there is a small part of this company that is going to have significantly higher growth than what the investors are looking at. And I think that's one of the most important things that we realized in that is that you have to find a niche. You have to find something that the rest of the world might not be looking at or the rest of the investors are not focusing on. And obviously now every Dick's Sporting Goods in the country has Hokas and they're selling like crazy. You see them on people's feet all the time. That stock is at 900 and I own zero shares of it. So yeah.
Oh, that's funny. But again, what you did was you found value
exactly.
And you put it into your models. I remember looking at all of the models that you put together for that, and the models showed a niche part of the business growing, taking market share. You factored in what the margins were, brought it to the bottom line, and you basically came up with a thesis that said this company is incredibly undervalued if, in fact, these Hokas continue to sell. And
exactly. Wow,
did they ever. And not only did you – I mean, you had it for a while. You invested in the company for a while, but not only did you get it right, but you significantly underestimated the market share they could have.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, I do that a lot. I mean, I ultimately find a company that I really like, and I take a position, and I start making some good money, and then I go, wow, that was great. I made a lot of money, and I take the position off only to see it, you know, double, quadruple, et cetera.
Painful.
So anyways, that's welcome to the world of investing. But it is a fun world. It's not for everybody. If you have no desire to do the work, do not get involved. I mean, it sounds like, Brian, you're interested in doing the work. And if you're interested in that, it is an amazing world. I certainly encourage people to dive into it. But if you find yourself, you know, trading off stock tips or what somebody said on TV or what your neighbor said or what you forget that nonsense. That is not the work. The
Absolutely.
Work is actually digging in, trying to come up with an edge and then putting that edge into practice and hopefully making money over time.
Yeah, and I think the last thing I'll mention is when we're evaluating companies, we do it a lot similar ways as when we're evaluating how people are doing in their personal finance. So do they have a ton of debt? Are they making money? Are they, you know, having margin that's coming through each month that they can put into future investments? All of those things that we evaluate on a company side, we evaluate when we talk to people and figure out what their personal financial situation is. So it's very, very similar. There's a lot of lines that run.
Excellent. Great question, Brian. Thanks for sending it in. We'll send you a $25 Amazon gift card. Maybe you could pick up the Buffett Way. There you go, by Mary Buffett.
Who did? this ain't gonna beat them Bengals.
All right, friends, remember the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest and do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us, and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.